Welcome into the Green and Gold Then and Now podcast here on 105.7 FM, thefan.com. Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb, in with Steve Zaki and Terry O'Brien. Going to talk some Packers football, the beloved. Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How about you, Ted?
Oh, living the dream. Terry, what's a good word, bud?
Not too much. First podcast ever. See what how this goes.
All right. Well, don't be nervous. Steve doesn't bite unless you ask him to.
Just a little nibble here and there.
So, okay. Well, where do we begin with that poop sandwich the Packers laid against the Redskins?
You know, we do Packer predictions on 105.7 FM, The Fan, and everybody went, pretty much, especially you.
Yeah, guilty as charged.
Mr. Orlowski. It's a roll out the helmets type of game.
Uh-huh.
And, boy, the only thing that saved this weekend was a worse loss, and that was Minnesota. And losing at home to Buffalo.
I know.
That was the only salve that made this thing palpable.
I know, but now you look at the standings, and you got the stupid Bears in first place.
It's too early.
Well, of course it's too early, but...
So somebody, I think my buddy tweeted me that, Terry... And I said, I remember a team that was in first place for 16 weeks and didn't win the division, so that doesn't concern me.
They're still in first place.
I know. It's ugly. It's as bad as the Cubs being in first place.
No.
Not
no,
for long, though.
Terry, what were your takeaways on that no-show, awful
display? I think you got to look at these first few weeks of the season as, like, preseason. Like, they're still settling in. Rodgers hasn't practiced all month, basically. It's going to be a work in progress, I think, for the next couple of weeks.
And we mentioned it on the last podcast. It's the new preseason, September.
Yep. It is. My problem with the whole thing is that, you know, you had Kenshaw Bryce, who played really well in the opening game, and then he was god-awful in week two. He sucked ass in week three. The only play he made was breaking Muhammad Wilkerson's leg. You know, besides that, he couldn't tackle or cover anybody. And then you had our wonderful coach, Mediocre Mike, double down and say he loves Kentrell Bryce still. What the hell is wrong with that guy?
You want him to call him out and wreck the kids, you know? I mean, there's a reason why he does that. He's trying to pump him up.
Right, but it's called...
We're behind you.
But it's called professional
football.
These guys get paid. Produce or get your ass off the field.
Now, I'm not like you two in the Mike McCarthy fan club and sending out those cards all the time like you two. Terry is you and Jeff could lead the anti-McCarthy.
I wanted him fired after the Seattle debacle.
Ditto. Yeah.
And I'm kind of, you know, I was happy with the changes they made, you know. And there's some people that say, "Hey, you made all these changes. Maybe you should have changed the head coach." We can bring that up later if you want. But getting back to Kentrell Bryce, that's just McCarthy trying to pump the kid up and so he doesn't get down too much on himself. He's a young player. I understand why. Do I agree with it? You know, I still think you should take responsibility. But that's been McCarthy's MO. He will never expose his players to the press.
He'll expose some because he sure threw Fat Eddie Lacy under the bus a bunch of times. McCarthy, like, picks one player that he has no problem throwing under the bus, and everybody else
Lombardi
he treats with
kid
gloves.
Lombardi did the same thing, though, didn't he?
Right.
I don't know. I wasn't
Lombardi. Lombardi did that with Jerry Kramer. That was the guy. He always took the abuse.
Yeah.
But, you know, he would never call out Bart Starr, but that's another story because Bart Starr said, "Well, I don't really think you should be," and Lombardi agreed with him. But there's that player, Eddie Lacy. Come on. I mean, that's going to get me some Chinese food.
Well, I think the difference here,
China food,
they don't have anything behind Bryce, you know, that can play right now. Where, you know, Eddie Lacy, they had
the best news of the weekend, Breshawn Breland.
Yeah. The funny thing with him.
It's actually an injury is actually a positive.
And it works out so good for the Packers. Because, okay, before the season started, the Panthers brought in Breland, signed him to a 3-year, $24 million contract. Breland's on vacation. He hurts his foot. It doesn't heal. So he doesn't pass his physical with Carolina. Green Bay gets him for $790,000. That's over $7.2 million cheaper this season because the poor bastard messed up his foot while he was on vacation.
That's a hell of a vacation, huh?
Cha-ching!
That's more expensive than staying at Disney World.
Hello.
At least he didn't lose three toes, Steve.
Yes, that's an inside joke.
Well, or three fingers like JPP did on the 4th of July.
Who can still sack the quarterback.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that old guy still gets more pressure than all of our defensive line.
What about Muhammad Wilkerson?
You know, he was unimpressive in the first two and a half games.
He's like a big rock going downhill. It takes him a little bit to...
You know, I expected big things. I thought he was going to make more of a contribution in the little time that he was here.
At least you'd see some glimpses.
Yeah.
You'd see a play here or there where, oh, okay, this is why we got the guy, but we hadn't seen that so far.
But if I'm Gouda Cheese, I double down and sign him to another one-year prove-it deal next season in the hopes that he can come back, perform, and get a bigger contract somewhere else.
I knew it was bad when they said, well, they're taking him to the hospital. That's never good. Because most likely the reason why they do that is, I'm not saying this is what happened in this case, but in the past we've seen that with circulation problems, or there's an issue that the fracture is what they call complicated. And there's circulatory problems, so they want to make sure it gets taken care of right away. An interesting story ESPN had, the four letter on Zach, the kid from the Chicago Bears.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible story on how close he came to actually losing that leg. People don't realize for fractures, if you get the first thing as a former EMT, one of the things you would always do is you press on the toenails and make sure there's what's called capillary refill to check to see if circulation. Your wife would know that, being a nurse. His leg was going cold quickly, and the doctor was in the ambulance taking him to the hospital in New Orleans. They were playing the Saints. The Bears were, and they wanted to take him to Hospital X, their contracted hospital, and doctor overrode him, said, no, you're taking him to a level one trauma center.
Yeah.
And that's what they did, and it saved his leg.
Wow. Well, good for him. That.
No, I'm not saying Muhammad Wilkerson was going to lose his leg. I'm just saying, during the game to the hospital, there's a reason for it, and you knew that. That's not a good reason.
That was a hideous-looking injury.
It was.
I didn't really get a good look at it.
No?
They didn't really show the replays, and, you know, you see the flamingo leg and all these other ones, especially, some of these, dead spin and pages like that will show them, but I didn't see anything on it.
You were too busy flipping channels.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, because with all that money you've got, Steve, we know you got a DVR. You could have rewound the damn thing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He's in love with the Red Channel, the Red Zone Channel.
I've never watched a Red Zone Channel.
It's like heroin. Don't do it. Once you get on it, you can't get off of it.
You know, I'll sit down and, you know, I don't have the time I used to, but, you know, before I would sit down and watch, you know, both games, whatever shown on Fox or CBS, and then Sunday night, like, just in their entirety.
Now, there's different Red Zone channels, which I didn't find out until like a year or two ago. The DirecTV Red Zone channel is Andrew Siciliano, who I'll admit I have a little man crush on, ears and everything. But like, I think it's the other one, satellite TV.
Dish
TV has a different guy, I guess. I forgot who it is. And I've heard other people talk and say, you know, who've had DirecTV, it's like, nah, they like Andrew Siciliano more than the other two guys, I guess, they have doing it.
Terry, you a big Red Zone guy?
Well, when he's at my house. Steve's, so, yeah, I guess. He had it on over the Brewer game, too, that day.
Nice. Oh, that's good. Good to know. I've been working with Steve for over 2 years now. I never got an invite to that, so now I see where I stand on the totem pole.
You know, what's up with that, Steve?
You know, yeah. Hey, Steve.
I will make it public that you always have an open invitation at Zotke West out in wonderful Big Bend, Wisconsin.
He's got both both hands, fingers crossed, toes crossed. He's lying.
He's got the two TV set up. He needs a third.
We're working on getting a third one, I guess.
Yeah, all right.
The old lady's back working full time. She got a raise, I think. We'll be in her future.
Nice.
So, not like yours, though.
Hey.
Anytime you want to trade a wife paychecks for a week, I'm all for it.
No, I still don't have any money.
All right, getting back to the Packers. So the Redskins, it was interesting. How about this to you guys? Did this game hurt more than the last one, the 42-24 debacle?
Yeah, just because.
Really?
Just because it's now.
Oh, that way.
You know.
This one, I was kind of like, you know, there's always that one. Every team goes through that where they're on the road and they lay that egg. Now, you're hoping that this is the only one the Packers do for the year. But it's, you know, they get it out of the way. You look at the Patriots. How do Patriot fans feel this week? Losing to the Lions. The lowly Lions. You lose, you know, the mentor beats the professor. All that talk, this and that. I mean, if you're a Patriots fan, you're getting a little worried, aren't you, Terry?
No.
Because it's the preseason, yeah.
Right. Okay. Because Belichick loses in September, he wins in December.
Well, that's a good point, because remember last year, everybody lost their minds when they lost to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what happened when who was playing better ball in December and January?
Oh, it's New England.
Yep.
This one, to me, it really stung when you see Buffalo destroy Minnesota. This was a perfect week to gain a game, especially when Minnesota was, you know, lost at home.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have gained a game on them, and it's going to help you. You know, down the road, the Packers will probably get it together and, you know, finish the season decent. And same thing with Minnesota. And so we could have got a game for home field advantage in the playoffs, stuff like that, that they just pissed away.
Right. It's going to make us a wild card team instead of a division winner.
I agree.
Or is this, or if you're a Vikings fan, are you a little bit worried?
Why? Just because of Buffalo? You know.
And other losses over the week they've had?
What, Emerson?
Yeah.
Emerson Griffin?
Emerson Griffin? That's a big hole to fill.
It is.
And we don't know when he's going to be back.
If
that's people don't realize this is some serious, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but this is a serious, before you're ready to any type of activity, like especially as highly stressed out as somebody can get playing professional football, you know, he needs to get himself in a better, you know, part of punt state of mind. But this isn't something where, oh, we just tweak his meds and he's got some issues.
No, I think he's still in a mental hospital getting evaluated now, and obviously he's on the Vikings, but you know, you hope the best for him. But it reminded me of Alonzo Spellman when he was with, you know, the Bears. Mm-hmm. And he kind of had his break from reality walking down the middle of the street naked. Yep. Yeah. And all that, and you know, that guy was, he was huge. You know, that would be a little freaky to see. Yeah, a big 300-pound muscled out, you know, dude just losing it. So yeah, it's scary, but hopefully the best for him. You know, if you're Mike Zimmer though, man, the second they give you the A-OK, you've got to put him right back on the field.
Yeah,
I know there's some legal issues there too, yeah. Aren't there?
And I think they're not mentioning that everything's kind of. Yeah, you know, if you're the city or whatever jurisdiction is involved there, you don't want to say anything until, you know, you got to have all the information. And especially with all the HIPAA laws and everything, nobody's going to say anything about anything for a while. So until everything kind of gets sorted out and they know where they're at. So
it's a
kindler, gentler Minnesota right now.
But I think a lot of that affected that team on Sunday too.
Yeah.
Because that all went down over the weekend, so.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully it still affects him for the next 13 weeks?
Yeah. One could only hope.
Yeah, hopefully they suffer. I was sitting here doing the big show today, and the intern is a Detroit Lions fan. And so he sit there and, you know, he's puffing out his chest. Yeah, Plucker and all that, because the Lions picked up the dominating win over the Patriots. And he looks at me and he goes, so do you think that the Packers are the worst team in the NFC North? Because you got the Bears, you know, they're right in first place.
Yeah.
Detroit crushed New England. We tied with Minnesota and then get our doors blown off by the stupid Redskins. Where do you think the Packers rank in the NFC North?
I was thinking about that. To be honest, I thought of that Monday night, you know, looking at the game, or Sunday night. And I'm thinking, well, Lions are looking good. Now where does this lead to Packers? But I'm thinking, it's week three.
Yeah, that was the Lions Super Bowl.
Yeah. When that schedule came out and everybody had it in their locker, circled on all that. So, yeah, I totally agree. It was their Super Bowl.
Well, when you look at the Packers.
We got to win it for Coach, coach. He's nice and, even though he's beard and looks scuzzy, he's all to them nice and shiny. And
but when you look at the Packers schedule, they don't play anybody, you know, at least at home besides Atlanta, that you would get up for the game like you would against Minnesota. And we kind of laid an egg there and got walked away with a tie.
But they here we go. This is the same Detroit team that did what against the Jets?
Well, yeah.
And I mean, so, and then the Jets, oh my gosh, they're on the come. Not against the Browns. So, I mean, it's just.
Everything's topsy-turvy.
And you know who's laughing the most?
Who's it?
Vegas.
Oh, of course. Well, it wasn't Vegas, but my guy won a lot of my money back this weekend.
Until everything starts settling down, it is just.
I still think the Packers are two. They're still behind the Vikings, and then Bears and Lions can fight for the basement.
And I said, you know, the first two games, wait and let the defense kind of settle in. It's actually going to be more like four or five, and we'll see. Now they got Breland in. You have a very young secondary, but, I mean, you know, we were talking about Wilkerson. You wanted to see a couple plays where you said, whoa. Well, we've seen that with the Packers secondary. Now we need to get some consistency, which will come later on. I think the defense, and this is why they bought in, Pettine, is we're going to see a different defense in November, December. At least, boy, we better.
Yeah, we better. It looks a lot like Dom Capers right now. Yes. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, that's what I told Steve. It's the old boss, same as the new boss or new boss.
And you got your buddies on Facebook. Oh, this is hell. I mean, look at the Saints last year. I mean, they gave up 40 and 41, whatever it was, first two games. They settled in. Of course, they had the big faux pas in the playoff game, one play. But I mean, they were on their way to, you know. They could have been going to the Super Bowl, a team that you think, well, were they really talented enough too? But they were in position where they could have, and they didn't, though. But they looked pretty good. Nobody was complaining about the Saints defense last year in late October, November, December.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, all right, well, we turn the page, and the Buffalo Bills come to town. The Packers are wearing the hideous blue and yellow throwback
jerseys. You don't like those?
Oh, come on.
You don't like the Acme?
Those are ugly. Absolutely ugly.
I think those are different, but.
Yeah, it's different, but just for me, just put on a regular damn uniform.
Did you like those or the 94 ones better?
94.
I like those 94 ones.
Mm-hmm.
But they only wore them for like those three. They actually wore a road uniform one game against Philadelphia, I think it was. Now, Philly, now there's a team that needs to get back to the Kelly Green. Did you notice, who was it? Was it Wentz, I think, had a Kelly Green sport coat in the postgame.
Nice.
And, you know, it's weird how these teams, you look at the Chargers, you look at the, especially while at least when they were in San Diego, what did you see in the stands? Powder blue.
Yeah.
And when they show the Eagles, it's amazing how many old school Kelly Green jerseys you see. The Ron Jaworskis, the Reggie Whites, you know, going to Randall Cunningham, you know, and then when they switched over, I think it was 95 or so. It's I just hate that.
Yeah, they're bad. I wish some of them, except I wish Tampa Bay would bring back the cream. I like those, man.
I don't, yeah. Well, they do, and they do occasionally.
Yeah, I like those. Those are, they're ugly, but they're not as ugly as the blue and yellow.
What about the Patriots? You like Pat Patriot?
I like the old helmet.
Yeah, Pat Patriot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What do they call the new one? They call us not Silver Surfer. They call him something. There's a nickname out on the internet for the new.
You're on your own on that one.
It's with the guy with the chin. It's weird. I don't mind the uniform, the jersey and the pants and that, the silver and that, but that helmet is just.
It's ugly.
Yeah, it is.
It's ugly. I still think the Rams had the ugliest, though, that blue and yellow, the old blue and yellow.
Oh, you didn't
Rams
like that? Jersey.
I didn't like those.
No?
And their helmets I don't like. Those old Rams helmets.
The gold or the yellow or the white?
The
or
gold.
Okay.
I didn't like those. But let's get off of fashion.
Okay.
So the Bills are coming to town. What's going to be different in this game that we did not see against the Redskins?
Well, if there's any team that's going to have a letdown, it should be them. This is a young team. But then again, the only thing that scares me, Josh Allen, this, you know, how many times have we seen this happen before? You know, he did have it last week, though. I mean, he was showing glimpses. But you're always afraid of that. Like that one Monday night, he was the guy in the Ravens that killed us on Monday night. It's the only good game he ever had.
Elvis Gerbaugh?
No. After him. The draft pick.
It wasn't Tony Smith? Or
No. It was the kid they drafted, and they got rid of Todd. What's his name? See, I'm playing without notes here, so.
Yeah.
I'll think of it in a second. Right. Number 8, Kyle Bowler.
Kyle
Bowler's only good game was against the Packers on that Monday or Sunday night game where they put up like 48, and that was when Mike Sherman pretty much. I was at the end of Mike Sherman at that point. But that was, yeah. And you look at Kyle Bowler's stats, he never had another game quite like that. And, you know, you're hoping this doesn't happen this week with Josh Allen.
Yeah, Terry.
Didn't you make a bold prediction about Josh Allen? Was that you I heard or somebody I heard?
That what? He'd be the best quarterback out of the draft class?
Yeah. That was your pick?
That
was your pick. Yeah. Microphone.
After seeing Baker Mayfield, you sticking with that?
Yes.
I like Josh Allen. He had a little bit of a swagger with Wyoming. Now, there were people saying, oh, it's Wyoming and this and that. But he could make all the throws. And I kind of like Josh Allen. Now, Baker Mayfield, I like too, but that can go. He's a little bit of a live wire. There's still Baker Mayfield. You're gonna need a good 3 to 4 years, I think, with him.
Really?
Yeah. Just to make sure that everything, because I don't know.
I think with Baker,
I'm pro Baker Mayfield now. I'm just saying. If I'm the Browns, I'm still a little nervous that, you know, just don't screw up. And I'm talking off the field and who knows what else, you know.
See, I think Baker Mayfield is going to be a lot like Johnny Manziel, where you're going to know within about 6 weeks whether he has his head screwed on right or not. You know, so he's halfway there now. If he gets arrested in the next 3-4 weeks, then I think there's, you know, some serious problems, and the kid is going to be a complete unmitigated disaster. However, if he can keep his nose clean, not turn the ball over, the Browns have a decent amount of talent on that team.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
And, you know, I think that I think he could shine, but I think, you know, like I said, I think the next 3-4 weeks is going to be huge for him and for the Browns as an organization.
Well, the thing with what's in his favor is that they have a pretty stout defense, and he's not gonna be in a situation where Josh Allen could be or on the Cardinals, where he's playing from behind all the time.
Yeah,
you know, where it should be close games with him, and he's got a good offensive line too. Mm-hmm. He probably has the best offensive line of the four teams.
Oh yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it appears the Browns got more talent around them than Josh Allen has in Buffalo right now. Mm-hmm. So,
It'll be interesting, and this is interesting, you know, to see who is that bad team, because first week we're saying, well, maybe the Jets are pretty good, and, oh, the Bills look bad, the Cardinals. It looks like, yeah, it could be the Cardinals. I mean, Cardinals could be, and we'll see what Bills team shows up in Lambeau Field. We hope it's that one that we saw in week one and two.
Well, after the first couple weeks, people were saying that, you know, oh, the Bills are not going to win a game. They're going to go 0-16 like the Lions did last year and all that. And, you know, crazy how one game changes a whole lot of perception on the Bills.
It certainly does. And, it, you know, turn it back to the Packers. It's how many times have we seen that in the past, though? Where you this team's coming in and you want to roll. We need a roll out the helmets game.
Yeah.
And the Packers have gotten them in the past, early in the season. And you really need that roll out the helmet game. You want to be – it would be so nice if you can pull Rodgers in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but do you actually expect Mike McCarthy to come out with some innovative game plan where he's going to put up 28 to 35 points in the first half? Because I have no faith that he can do that.
No, it's not the Bears. So, well, and plus they're banged up. The offensive line's banged up. Rodgers is banged up. Defensive line's banged up. You know, there's a lot of things going on with the Packers right now. I don't think they're going to be able to, you know, blow somebody out right now.
Yeah, I agree. We got no linebackers. Besides Martinez, that's worth a damn.
Right.
Okay, I want to get you guys worked up.
Uh-oh.
So we saw with all these coaching changes with the Packers and everything, and you see what you're seeing what Matt Nagy has been doing with the Bears. Were you hoping you'd see a little bit of that in the first couple weeks here, a couple glimpses when they brought back
Philbin?
Philbin, yeah, you know, we tore it down all the way that we heard McCarthy say. We started from the ground, and this is all new. We were pulling out plays we haven't seen in 15 years. Well, maybe there's a reason why we haven't seen them in 15 years, and we've seen what Matt Nagy is doing down in Chicago. You know, if I'm a Bears fan, I'm pretty excited about this with this new coach.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything new from this Packer team in 3 weeks.
Is that by design, you think?
Probably. I don't know. Maybe they're saving it for the end of the season. Maybe they just can't do it right now.
It can't be by design. You played two division games already. Okay. So if there's ever a time to break out new stuff that people haven't seen and haven't scouted, the first 2 weeks of the season was the time to do it. You're playing your two – well, you know, your biggest rival for me is the Vikings. But you're playing your two biggest rivals – and you walk away with one hell of a comeback, which a game they probably should have lost. They were a dropped interception away from losing against the Bears. And then you tie against Minnesota.
Okay, here we go. Should have the Packers miss on Adam Gase and Nagy?
Absolutely.
What do you mean?
By not hiring him.
Oh.
Adam Gase, you and I, and we talked about it, and your brother too, we were talking about Adam Gase when he was with the Bears.
I love
him. And we were thinking, imagine this guy is the Packers head coach.
Yep.
And though you saw the last couple of years with the Dolphins, but that's an organizational thing too, though. I don't think you can name, you know, you can put that all on Gase. But, yeah, I mean, where could the Packers be? Do you think the Packers would be in a better spot with Gase at this point? After, let's say, in his third year, starting his third year?
Absolutely, especially with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. He's struggling.
But he's the guy that didn't want to make the change. He loves him and McCarthy have this relationship, even though it looked like a couple times during the game he wasn't too happy with McCarthy. And you wonder if the headphones were really out on the helmet.
You know, I just...
Is he going to pull that one again, you think? I can't hear you.
Maybe. I just wish that if I was the Pack... and Mark Murphy, I'd be calling the Dolphins and just try to trade Gase for McCarthy straight up. You know, I think that Gase, if he was here and if he had Aaron Rodgers and some of the talent that, you know, one of the good bright spots of the Redskins game was Geronimo Allison. You know, so we've got at least one of our young receivers that is stepping up and making plays. You know, we drafted the three guys with Equanimeous and Jamon Moore and MVS and all that.
And they're all inactive every week.
Yeah, they haven't done a damn thing. So I think that, you know, if Adam Gase was here, there's no way in hell we're 1-1-1. I would say we're 2-1 at the absolute worst.
You wonder, because one of the, well, I was happy with the Pettine hire because there's always been whispers that McCarthy has never wanted anybody smarter than him. And I think he kind of realized, and you wonder how much the organization said, let's bring in, you know, Pettine. You know, the Joe Philbin thing, maybe that was a deal. I tell you what, let's bring in, you know, Pettine on defense, and then you can have Philbin. Because, I mean, Philbin's, when I thought about it, I thought, oh, okay, at the time, yeah, maybe this is, you know, maybe this might work out. But you wonder, maybe he should have hired, you know, somebody. There's a kid out there somewhere, you know, that can maybe can push McCarthy. You know, that 27-year-old kid who's a quarterback coach somewhere or whatever, tight ends coach that everybody's whispering about. Bring him in as an offensive coordinator. Is there that person out there?
Well, I don't know. I think part of the problem was that the last through few drafts that Ted Thompson had didn't bring us the talent we needed, and that's really hurt the franchise. And he had to go, and, you know, McCarthy's done the best he can with what he's got. I mean, he had us in an NFC championship game, was it 2 years ago? So, you know.
Are we too close? Because, I mean, you look at everybody's, you know, and we've talked, you've talked about it on the postgame show. You talked about on the big show, Craig Council. Nobody's had. And somebody, I forgot was who came on, was it McKelvey or whoever came on, said, he said something, nobody likes the manager in their own hometown.
Well, of course.
And, and you wonder, are we that jaded with McCarthy? Or is it just because he's been here for 13 years, 14 years, whatever it's been now? Is it just time for a change? Are we just getting tired of it? I think I guess we'll find out by January.
Well, part of it is the time that he's been here. Who was it? Bill Walsh that said every 10 years you need a change in voice. So, you know, I definitely think the Packers locker room needs a change in voice. Mike McCarthy wanting to be the smartest man in the room, that shouldn't be hard to surpass him if you listen to any press conferences.
You wonder.
He sounds like an idiot.
You wonder, though. Oh, shit. I mean, what would happen if we wouldn't win that change after that Seattle game?
Well, I know. But you sit there, and even last season, you know, Doug Peterson, coach of the Eagles, they asked him how he prepared his offensive game plan for the Super Bowl. And he said, I looked at every single offensive snap that we took this year. The plays that worked, I left in. The plays that didn't work, I threw out of the playbook. So it's not freaking rocket science, you know, to sit there and have to draw up like 50 new plays every single week. You go with what you're good at.
Like most of McCarthy's plays on fourth down. Throw those things out.
Oh, yeah, all of them. All of them.
And, you know, we were talking about that when he didn't go for it on fourth down in the fourth quarter and that.
With eight and a half minutes to go in the game.
Right. And you know, we're always like, he never calls quarterback sneak. I'm like, get up there, boom. What did we see Monday night or Sunday night?
Drew Brees.
And Brady. Brady got like four yards on a quarterback sneak.
But then they'll try the run-pass option play with a hobbled Aaron Rodgers that just completely fell flat because it was the stupidest play call in the history of the world.
Well, I tell you what, you've been listening to the Green and Gold Then and Now podcast, and we'll talk more next week.
Yeah, make sure you check us out on Facebook at Green and Gold Then and Now. And
also our Twitter accounts.
Yeah, Twitter accounts. I'm at Jeff_Orlowski.
Steve Zautke, Zautke on Twitter.
Terry, what's your Twitter?
He's undercover. Do you still have him?
I actually don't even know.
He's undercover. Yeah. I think your TLB commish.
I think it is.
Well, check us out. Give us a like on Facebook. We'll be back next week with another episode. Just keep tuning in. It's good stuff, and we'll have a show for you every week.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, you did well, Terry. Thanks for joining us. And I think we can have him on again. What do you think?
If the check is big enough, he's more than welcome to sit in every single week.
Talk to you next week.